It's good to be saved. Amen. If you're glad to be saved, say amen. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all are saved in here. But it is a blessing to be here tonight. An honor and a privilege. And setting my watch here. Don't want to go over time and lose support, Pastor. So make sure to be on time for that. But it is a privilege to be here. We did have a long commute of about 0.8 miles tonight. So praise the Lord. The brakes didn't even get heated up before we got here. But ain't you glad for Calvary? Ain't you glad what Calvary did for you? Tonight we'll actually be preaching on Mark chapter 5. And most of us know this very famous passage of Scripture. And it'll show you what'll happen if we don't let Calvary step into our lives. You know, we can look at the maniac of Gadara with such judgmental eyes. We can look at him and say, this is what he got himself into. That could never be me. I could never get to that point at where he was at. I could never isolate myself from the rest of the world. I could never go out into the wild and amongst the tombs, and I could never be that so filled with sin and filled with that life that I would allow myself to turn into that. But I want every one of us to know here tonight that if it was not for grace and mercy in our lives, we would be in a far worse state than the maniac of Gadara would. If it was not for the grace in my life, I personally would not be here tonight. None of us would be here in this building, and every one of us would either be in hell or on our way to hell. That was it. Without the grace of God in our lives, we would be right there amongst the tombs with him. Without the grace of God in our lives, we would be running around unclothed out of our mind, just looking an absolute crazy mess as when they first looked at him. Now we see in Mark chapter 5, we'll start in verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwellings among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So we get our first introduction to the man here. First off, we see that he has an unclean spirit. That's the first thing mentioned here. What does that mean? He is a lost man. He does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of him. He has not been saved. He is a sinner doing what sinners do. And it's that simple. We can look at him and say, oh, how extreme is it that he got to this point? And how extreme is it that he is cutting himself? And you can outwardly see the sin. But I'm going to give everyone a newsflash. Most of the people that we run into or talk to in the world are dealing with the same sins this maniac dealt with. Spiritually, they're in the exact same condition he was in. But yet they can cover it up. You can put on a nice suit. You can go get your hair cut right before you go to church. You can quit screaming at the parking lot and everyone gets out the car like they're a happy, loving family and everything's put together. When 30 seconds before we showed up to church, it was World War III in the car. If y'all never drove deputation, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I know y'all have children, so you know what I'm talking about. They're watching. Yeah, be quiet. Fix your hair. Oh, side note, we put Nikolai in a white T-shirt. Showed up to church. We were eating before the service. Never eat before a service when you're being stared at the whole time. Before he sits down with his plate, completely covered in barbecue sauce. So that was just a rabbit I had no need to run, but I felt like y'all should know that. Don't serve barbecue right before a church with a white shirt on. Your son will wear it. Back to the message here. We see he has an unclean spirit. Also, we see that he was alone. Now, when we get into that position in our lives, when we allow that sin to creep in, when we allow that sin that started out small to build and build and build, and we're internalizing it, we're hiding it, the number one thing we try to do is get alone. And I'm here to tell you, if you have to be alone to do it, it's probably a sin. I don't know what you're dealing with, I don't know what you're doing, but if I have to hide to do it, There's probably a reason right there. It's a sin. And many times when I'm trying to teach my children this kind of thing of just basics of right from wrong and what you can do and what you shouldn't do, 90% of the time when they're doing something they shouldn't, Brother Cam, get forward to it because you've got one coming. When they're doing something they shouldn't, they will go hide. They will get behind the couch and eat all the chocolate. They'll get behind the couch and pee where they're not supposed to. Mine didn't do that, but I have heard stories of this. You will go hide to do that sin because you know it's wrong. Because if you are saved, there's a grieving of the spirit that's inside of you. In the same way that I don't want to sin like I used to, but if I do, because I'm not perfect and none of us in here are, the grieving of the spirit is real inside me. It hurts. It grieves. I want to hide from myself when I do that. In the same way that if you're trapped in this sin, if you're trapped in that lifestyle, you want to get away. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to a house full of people that'll probably judge everything you're doing before you get to the store, before you even get inside the church. You want to be alone, and this is right where he is. He is alone. Not only that, we see, no man could bind him. The world had tried to help. Many times we try to help someone, whether it's out of love or it's out of compassion or desperation or sympathy, or we just feel so much pity for somebody, we try to help them. But how are we helping them? Because if we bind them up, if they're not going to help themselves, they'll bust free. If we chain them up, but it's an internal problem that they're dealing with, it's eternal sin that they're fighting, they'll bust right through that. Like I already said, we can look the part and we can act the part. And you can fool everybody in here. There's not one person in here that can't fool the person beside you, even if that is your wife. That's what was tried to happen here. They tried to help him. They tried to put clothes on him. They tried to chain him up. Well, if you won't stop cutting yourself, I'll make it so you can't use your arms. I'll chain you up. And yet he continued to bust out of it because when they were trying to help them, they were not going at it the way that needs to be got at it. So many times I feel it, and everyone in here has felt it. You see that person that needs help, and you want to help them. Praise the Lord, you're saved. You know what it means to be a Christian. You want to be that example in their life. You want to help them. But how do we truly help somebody? Do you help them by chaining them up? No. Do you help them by bounding them up? No. Do you cast them into the tombs because it's too hard for you, because it hurts your heart too much, because it's too much of a task or a risk, or because somebody might see you trying to help them? They might see you around them, so put them in the tombs. Chain them up, cast them aside. That might work for a season, but it will not fix the problem. It has to be a lot deeper than surface level. It has to be so much deeper than having compassion for somebody or wanting to help somebody or seeing that somebody has a need. No, we have to take them to the one that can help. We have to take them to the physician that can fix all. We got to take them to the one, praise the Lord, that came for that one, that came for the lost, that came for the absolute lowest of the lowest, the worst of the worst. Praise the Lord, my God's blood is powerful enough to cleanse them, powerful enough to save them. He died for all, not for just those that only had 500's worth of debt. No, for every single human being that has ever taken breath in this world, that is who he died for, every one of us. Verse 4. Because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. We see a temporal solution, or a temporary solution here. Often bound with fetters and chains, and in the same way, we can't save anybody. I cannot save one soul. Our pastor can't save anybody. Brother Jackie can't save anybody. It takes God to do the saving. It takes him to give the increase. It takes him to give the indwelling of the Spirit. All we are is simple messengers to the lost, to the dying, to the ones out in sin, that there is a Savior, there is a way, and it's called grace. It's not by our works. That is what we are here for. We can't save anybody, but we can lead them to the ones that can. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken into pieces. We can mask our sins. Like I said, we can fool everybody in here. And religion is one of the biggest versions of this. So many people, and I could only fathom the amount here, have walked their way to heaven's gate and fell into eternity in hell. They had walked up to the gate with religion. They had walked up to the gate with the knowledge, but yet they weren't truly saved. They were under that umbrella of religion or religious. They were under that umbrella of helping and being a good person and praise the Lord for it. You're not an evil human being. But that does not matter. It's the grace of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And regardless of what religion you have, you can die and go to hell with a title attached to your name, thinking you're about to make it into heaven. God forbid how that would be. How terrible would that be to step out into eternity and hear real preaching, and hear real gospel, and know real doctrine, but not have that actual relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I cannot get a hold of that. I can't get a hold of that. Well, praise the Lord for our Bible. Praise the Lord, it'll answer every question we ever have. Just because you say you were saved does not mean you were saved. Just because your name is on a church roll does not mean that you were saved. That is one of the biggest problems with Iceland right now. I'm not trying to preach on that, but here it is. They are beyond confused. Almost every single one of them identifies as a Christian because of a law that was put into place that they were born into the Lutheran church. They were born into church membership. Every single door we knocked on, they said they were a Christian. Every door, the first question is, are you a Christian? Yes. Every door we went to. The very next question we asked is, who is Jesus Christ? Not one person that told me they were a Christian could tell me who Jesus Christ was, but they identified as a Christian. They were holding on to that religion that meant nothing. They're holding on to religion without any substance to it. Matthew 21 and 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had religion. They were doing great things in the eyes of man in the form of religion, but they did not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they even boldly went up to Jesus and was like, let me in Packlet language. I have done a repertoire of things. I have a shopping list that I have done for you. And Jesus' response is, that's nice, but I don't know you. You had religion, but you didn't have me. There is a big, big difference there. Mark 5:5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. You know, this is actually a real situation right now that I just found out about. When we hear that he was in the tombs and he was cutting himself with stones, that sounds so absurd to us. It sounds so far out to us. We don't realize the amount of children that are next door with long sleeves on to hide it. We don't realize that possibly next door, just under the hems, is where it's hidden at. Just because this was a maniac out of his mind does not mean it couldn't happen to our children, does not mean it couldn't happen to the adults of this church. Many ways, that is the only way they can get a feeling through is through cutting. Just to be able to feel the pain, to know that they're still alive. And yet, when we read about it, that couldn't happen to us. It's too far. He was full of demons. His name was the Legion because there were so many about him. But no, I'm not saying everyone in here is possessed by a demon. Don't get me wrong here. Nor has ever been possessed by a demon in here. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you look at the Legion that was inside of him, what can you relate to? You know, greed is terrible. Is it a physical demon? No. But greed and lust in your life can become so contrite, it's like a real demon. Adultery, fornication, anything in between, we can have those in our lives, but yet we look down upon somebody who actually has demons in them. We look at somebody and say, that is too far gone. That could not be me. That could not be my family. That could definitely not be my children. Couldn't be my wife. That is impossible. That has only happened in Bible days. What about envy and strife and backbiting and murmuring and complaining and everything in between there that we can harbor in our lives, and we can have a mountain of so-called metaphorical demons in our lives that are pulling us down. We can have all those sins in our lives, but we say it's impossible for us. But yet when we look at this maniac, when we look at this crazy person, we look completely different at him than we would somebody else. But what do sinners do, Brother Cam? They sin. I have never looked at a lion and got mad because they killed a gazelle. No, that's his nature. That's what it's supposed to do. When you see an eagle swoop in on the lake and grabs a fish out, it's absolutely beautiful. I've never got mad at the eagle for that. Mad I couldn't take a picture of it. But no, why? Because we know that's nature. That is what nature does. That's the circle of life. That is how it's formed and how it was meant to be. Well, we are born sinners. We were born in sin and of sin. Day one, we are sinners. But yet we look at a sinner and say, how dare you sin? How dare you do that? How dare you act like a sinner? It's almost like you're a sinner. That's exactly right. We look at this maniac and we say, that is so far gone. How dare you act like that? But the only thing he was doing was being a lost sinner in the exact same way. Every single one of us in here was a lost sinner. Every single one of us was on our way to hell. Every single one of us had that price that needed to be paid. That same price that he had to be paid. And every single one of us could be right where he is right now without the common grace of God in our lives. Instead of us getting mad at sinners for sinning, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not telling you to flourish in it. I'm not telling you to, you know, glamorize it. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is instead of us turning our backs and throwing them to the tombs, instead of us giving them a taste of religion to see if it'll cover up the problem, we need to give them Christ. This beautiful building, as beautiful as it is, the acoustics in here are great. Trust me, being all over the place, some acoustics are really bad. They are really good in here. They are so good. This is a hospital. That's what this is. This is a hospital. And no, God is not confined by these walls or by this property, but absolutely anybody, regardless of their sins, regardless of what cuts they were cutting this morning, what they're harboring in here, we should willingly allow anybody in here so they can get real help. So they can get real truth. So they can get real doctrine. If you want to see somebody changed, don't put new clothes on them. Take them to the one that can. Take them to the one that can give them that new birth that we read about here just coming up. It's far more than us just giving a handshake. Why don't we give them the gospel? Why don't we give them the real medicine? Every one of us would be so mad if we went to the doctor with cancer and he didn't tell us and said, go take a Tylenol. We'd try to sue the doctor. Absolutely, they got enough of my money. Let me get some of that back. No, we would be so mad at the doctor for lying to us, misleading us. But what are we doing to the lost? I'm saying we here as a whole. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, to be honest. Mark 5, 8, and 9. For he said unto him, come out of them, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. We kind of already touched on that. We have so many sins that we harbor in our lives, that we hide, that we sneak around to do, that we think aren't big sins or big inflections towards God. Well, it's completely wrong. Any sin in the eyes of God is a big deal. Anytime we break that grieving of the Spirit in our lives, that's a big deal. Do we realize the blessing it is to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit? But also the same blessing it is to feel when it grieves us. In the same way, when you're a child, you don't understand the blessing it is to get a whipping and put in your place. But the second you have a child of yourselves, you thank the Lord for every whipping that you got, and you deserve more. Every one of us in here did. That's what the Holy Spirit's there in the grieving process, is to let us know you have messed up. This hurts, now fix it. Praise the Lord, I've got something inside me that tells me that. I'd be in a mess without it, y'all. You would too. Praise the Lord. Running out of time here. I got past my introduction, brother. So we're good. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that he was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. We see the power of the gospel here. We see that no matter how much man tried, no matter the amount of chains they put on him, no matter when we try to fix it ourselves, they needed to go to God. They needed to go to Jesus Christ. They needed to go to the great physician. They needed to go to the only one that can. In the same way, the woman with the issue of blood spent every dollar she had trying to get it taken care of, spent years of her life working on it, but all she had to do was go to Jesus to begin with. And the second she touched him with faith, that issue was gone. In the same way here, immediately the devils went out of him. The demons went into the swine. Immediately he became a new creature. Aren't you glad for the new birth? We hear it a lot. He's born again. What does that mean? If you want to know a picture of being born again, right here in your Bible is a prime example of what it means to be born again. You say it's not that dramatic. It absolutely is that dramatic. 100%. Every time a soul is saved, heaven and the angels rejoice on it. That's a big deal for every single one of them. But imagine if this was your brother or your father or your child or anything in between. The rejoicing you would do, even if he just put clothes on, just get him out the tombs, you'd be rejoicing. No, but we see a true new birth here. We see what it actually means to be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am a firm believer in the new birth. Why? Because I am a product of it. And every single one of us in here are products of the new birth. We are products of the old things being passed away. New things coming in. There was a time, Cam, I love you to death. I used to run from you. Because I knew you was going to be trying to shove Christ down my throat. I'm be honest. Praise the Lord for him. Some of y'all need to learn from him. Praise the Lord for it. But why? It's because I was lost on my way to hell and I was a sinner. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I would run from it. I would try to put on the chains. I would try to put on the fetters. I would try to put on the clothes. But in the end, I just ripped them off and I was crazy on my own again. But the day I became a new creature, praise the Lord, the day he moved into my little single-wide trailer, I could not wait to get next to Cam. I remember running up to Cam, giving him a couple extra pats on the back that day. It was a good day. Why? Because I knew the testimony he had. I knew that regardless of the amount of times I did not listen to him, the amount of times I wanted to run away, and he could see it, but yet he never once wavered. I'm not just talking up you. You're just on the front row, buddy. But there wasn't a time he didn't try to give me Christ. When everyone in the world tried to give me a different solution for my drug addiction problems, different solution for the crazy mess of a broken home I was in and leading my family down a terrible mess, none of that was going to help. The only thing that was going to help was Christ. The only thing that could break those addictions was Christ. The only thing that could break that depression was Christ. The only thing that could break that lifestyle and that heritage I was forged into and that heritage I was creating for my children was Christ. And that new birth became real. In the same way, we see a maniac that went from cutting himself if the only thing he was doing was sitting in his right mind. Praise the Lord. That was enough. For everybody to talk about it, for everybody to witness it, for everybody to see that testimony, but no. What did he do? This is where many of us stop. Story ends here. Praise the Lord, he got saved, he became a new creature. We can amen that. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I want y'all to think of a timeline here. I realize what time it is, but a different timeline. How many of us in here showing hands have ever got a cut? Some of y'all have been in a bubble your whole life. Everybody's hand should have been raised. That's what I was hoping for there. I know who's sleeping now. But no, after you get a cut, it's not gone. It doesn't just disappear immediately. Put a Band-Aid on it, poof, gone. Now, some of us have little kids, you can kiss it and it'll be a lot better, but it's not gone. Never just disappears. The maniac still had wounds that were being dressed. Still had bandages that needed to be changed. Still had scars that were fresh. You know, where they look kind of pink, they don't really blend in yet. Fresh scars. Still had scabs. But yet, that did not stop him from serving the Lord. So many times we let our scars, Brother Cam, stop us from serving the Lord. So many times we let the fact that they know my past stop us from serving the Lord. An entire town knew about him. Everybody knew his dirty laundry and saw it literally and physically. They knew everything there was to know about him. But yet, even with his scars, even with his open wounds, even with everybody knowing everything he had went through, everything he had done, he still was willing to profess the name of Jesus Christ. He still wanted nothing more than to go tell his family what happened to him. We don't realize the power of our testimony, Brother Cam. The power that it is. Yes, you might be in a mess. Everybody and your mama knows it. Everybody can see it just looking at you. But don't let that stop you from serving the Lord if you get saved. If you are born again, there's nothing better you can do than profess the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let your past stop you. Don't let your scars stop you. Don't let anything that was before that new birth stop you. Say, I can't get a hold of it. Praise the Lord for Paul. I use him so much. That's my boy. Love Paul. I use him all the time. The example of Paul, the things that he went through after salvation, but was still professing the name of Christ on high. The things he went through before salvation, the persecution, the terrible things he did in the name of religion and towards Christians, but yet he penned most of our New Testament Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And yet we let our past stop us from serving the Lord. What mighty things could God do with you? Say, well, I'm nobody. Praise the Lord, we all are. Amen. But I've got somebody living inside me that's a whole lot better than I am. That is perfect in every way, and that is the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing it on myself. You won't be doing it alone. Jesus will go with you. He will be right there with us. And even if he's not, it is worth it. It is worth every chance we can give the gospel. There might be a day here in America where it is illegal to preach. It's getting there. It's definitely real close to preach the whole counsel of the gospel. They love the watered-down love part. They forget all the rest. Are we willing to profess that name when it's not easy? It's real easy right now. It is really easy for us. And yet we make every excuse to not do it. What about when it's hard? What about when it's literally life or death? Are we going to be willing to do it then? Are we going to be willing to give the name of Jesus? Or are we going to let our past stop us? Are we going to let our scars stop us? You know, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is it's easy for us to get mad at somebody that's lost because they're living lost. It's easy for us to put them in the tombs, wipe our hands, and say we did a Christian thing, we helped. But so many times, the only thing they need, and 99.9% of the time, the only thing they needed was a real presentation of the gospel delivered with compassion. Show them that you love them. Give them the gospel. And let God work. What does it mean to be a missionary? Instead of Packlet, I'll be somewhere else. Give them the gospel. Letting them know I love them with compassion. That's it. It's so simple. Yet we try to over glorify it. We try to put our name in lights and everything in between, but the only thing that maniac needed was Jesus to begin with. It's the only thing we need to begin with. It's the only thing this world needs of all the commissions Jesus could leave us. That's what he gave us. Go give the gospel. That's it. We are all missionaries. Every single one of us. Everyone that has been born again, because you have that forever, so that it is born again or been born again, we're all missionaries. Whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else, just where the Lord sends us, that's it. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. I do thank you for this opportunity. I do thank you for this church, Lord. I do thank you for everything that you've done for us here, Lord. I thank you for showing us your presence lately, Lord. I thank you for saving these souls. I thank you for allowing us to use our baptismal pool again, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to put a hedge of protection around this house, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around here, not that we might be boastful, but that we might be able to be that hospital for Packlet, Lord. We might be able to be that hospital for this world. Lord, I pray that you would put a hand upon our pastor. You would continue to lead him and guide him and protect him, Lord. Lord, I pray you would protect our children next door, the battles and demons that they're fighting, Lord, that we are so oblivious to. Lord, I pray you would protect our children. I pray you'd put a special hand upon them, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd show compassion on them, that you would comfort them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of them if they need to be saved. Lord, I pray you'd save them. Lord, I pray you would continue to move in a mighty way, Lord. I pray you would meet with us again at our next appointed time, Lord. Lord, get us home safely. Bring us back next time, Lord. We love you, praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.